Take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis, chapter number 32 tonight. Genesis, chapter number 32 tonight. And I want to say what a real joy it is to be at Fellowship Baptist Church. Thank you for the invitation. And Brother Davis, thank you so much for the Word of God. I'm glad there's still men not afraid to preach. How about you? In our day and time, if it's going to turn the right direction, we need somebody to ride back and preach to us and tell us the truth. I believe that. And I'm so thankful I got to sit. I love listening to preachers preach. I enjoy preaching. We had our Jubilee last week at our church. And man, I'm telling you what, I love it when I just get to sit there and just enjoy preaching. But when you moderate your Jubilee, you know, you really don't get to enjoy it like you want to enjoy it, because you got all things going on and motel rooms and people coming in and a lot of things going on. But still, it's a real joy to sit here and listen to preaching. And man, I love what I heard tonight. Dr. Ennis, thank you for allowing us to be here. I know last time I was here, you had just come out of surgery and hadn't been long. And you look the same all the time. I'm telling you, you don't age. I get more gray hair every single year, and you got gray hair, but you still look young. Amen. And I appreciate the church. Thank you for the invitation to be here tonight. Enjoy going by and seeing all the boards throughout the 4 year and all the missionaries that are here. And God's allowed us at Calvary to support 200 missionaries around the world and Faith Promise Missions. I love missionaries. Amen. Thank God for what God's doing around the world there, and I praise the Lord for it. And I'm just glad to be in church tonight. And I appreciate Brother Davis making up that story about his son. Amen. I thought that was nice. Amen. And I appreciate that. And Jonathan, and I appreciate that. Matter of fact, Brother Davis and I get to preach again together next month. I think in June, we'll be together down in Thomasville. So I'm excited about that and looking forward to that. And I'll tell you what, you can get right with the Lord just driving through Raleigh at 5 o'clock. Now, I didn't get right driving through Raleigh. Be honest with you, I got pretty wrong. There was one lady, she got much closer to the back bumper of my car. I was going to ask her, won't you just ride with us? Then I thought some other stuff that I won't share with you. And then I got to the motel and asked God to forgive me of all that. Hallelujah. I feel that's like going through Charlotte on Interstate 77. Amen. Genesis chapter number 32 and verse number 24. If you would please, and I want to give you a little bit of what God's got on my heart tonight. It is good to have my wife, by the way, with me tonight. And just this month, we've been married 29 years. Amen. Best decision she ever made. That's what I keep telling her anyway, but amen. 29, that's hard to believe. 29 years ago that, wow. And we met in college. And she asked me to marry her, and I did. That part is true. Amen. You got to understand, she's a country girl. I was in college when I met her. I got invited to come up to her home when we was off. And I don't misunderstand, her mom was old-fashioned. I got invited to go up to her home, a little place, I don't know if you've heard of it, called Gretna, Virginia. They don't put a yellow line in the middle of the road, because if you did, you couldn't pass. And I'll never forget, her mom was a modern-day Granny Clampett. Now, I'm being honest. She's about 4'11", can wield a double-barrel shotgun as good as any man ever could. And I've seen her many times with curlers in her hair and her nightgown and a double-barrel shotgun in her hand, seeing what was outside. So when I visited her home the first time, I was sure that I was going to behave. Now, I'll never forget, I was laying in the bed, and she slept with her, of course, her mom, and her mom kept the shotgun by to make sure I stayed on the other side of the house. And I'll never forget that morning, I heard something outside the window, crazy racking, couldn't figure out what it was, and I pulled back the curtain, there was a cow staring in the window, amen, saying, eat more chicken. Amen. I did make the last part up, but not the first part. Genesis 32, verse number 24, please. The Bible says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. I want to go back, if we could, tonight, and I want to preach in verse number 26. Well, the Bible says, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. I want to preach tonight on this subject. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. Father, I pray tonight, you touch our heart, Lord. We've already heard wonderful preaching. God, you could not have asked for better songs tonight that have glorified you and not man tonight. Lord, I thank you for all that I've heard, and Lord, for the very presence of God that I feel in this place. Thank you for this dear man of God, this Jubilee, all those in the college, all of those that are a part of this ministry. Lord, may you bless them and touch them, and we'll give you the glory. Now, Father, I can't do this alone. God, you know me. I'd stumble around and make a mess. But God, I pray tonight the Holy Ghost would anoint me tonight to preach. And God, give us what we need tonight in this hour. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to preach tonight on a subject that has me burdened. I want to deal tonight with something that has me troubled as you travel across the country and preach. And that is on how much we are operating outside of the power of the Holy Ghost of God. I am convinced today that we have the best singing that we've ever had. I am convinced today that we have the best orators that we've ever had. I am convinced today that we have the best outlines and we have some of the best preachers. Still in fundamentalism in America, there are still some men that are still standing true to the Word of God and are still preaching truth of the Word of God. I am convinced today that we have some of the most beautiful buildings being erected today that we've ever seen. I am also convinced today that if we're not careful, we're making the least impact. I'm convinced today that something's missing. Friend, I believe 100% in things being decent and in order. I believe 100% that we need to have a balance in our church. I like old-time singing. I even like a little picking of a banjo and a guitar and a mandolin and a dobro. But I also like what I've heard tonight. I like a balance in the house of God. We got to have a balance in God's house. Every preacher cannot be a great exhorter like a Dr. Joe Author. Every preacher cannot be other men of God that preach in the way. God made us the way we are. And I made my mind up a long time ago that I'm not going to try to be anybody else. I'm just going to be what God made me, and that's all I can do. But I want you to understand tonight that we are operating in our day, I believe, with a lack of one thing we got to have. Oh, Lord God. I was preaching to Mountains of North Carolina a while back. The preacher told me, he said, preacher, if nothing else, what we got to have this week is a touch and a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, I want to say this in a fundamental King James Bible preaching church. I still like the Holy Ghost. I still believe in the Holy Ghost. We still have to have the Holy Ghost of God. I believe that tonight. If we don't, we're nothing but a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. If we don't, we're just making noise. several years ago, back before they somewhat defiled the place, several years ago, I had the privilege in November, years ago, when I was visiting my wife, I said, I want to drive to Lynchburg, Virginia. It's been years ago. Matter of fact, just to be honest with you, when I first started pastoring, I picked up some great ideas about knocking on doors and soul winning through that era of my life. But several years ago, I wanted to drive to Lynchburg, Virginia for one purpose. I wanted to go to the grave of B.R. Lincoln.
Yes, sir.
I remember that day in November. It was snowing that day, cold as it could be. My wife's family were devout Methodists. They were wonderful people, and in somewhat I believe they really loved the Lord, but they'd never been around the old-time way that you and I know a lot about. And so we were visiting and looking around that area, and while we were doing that, I told them, I said, listen, y'all just go somewhere else. I want to be by myself for a while.
Yeah,
I was a young preacher then in my early 20s, and I walked up to the grave of B.R. Lakin, the prince of preachers, and the great work God did with that old man of God in years gone by.
Amen.
And I laid on his grave in the snow. As I laid on his grave in the snow, I said, God, I don't know what he had. I said, God, I don't know everything about it, but I said, God, if you would allow me, I want you to touch my life. I want to have the power of the Holy Ghost that I can preach to sinners, and sinners will fall under conviction, and a man just won't make a profession, but he'll get a possession, and God will change his life, and the drunkard will get saved, and the drug addict will get saved, and the harlot will get saved. Hey, I still believe in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Now here in this passage of the Word of God that we've read tonight, it's a story about Jacob. Now let's be honest. Jacob really didn't start out as being the most wonderful person in the world. Amen. And sometimes people get real nervous when you talk about big patriarchs and people of the Bible and how they weren't so great. Look, I'll be honest with you. Abraham wasn't exactly starting off as a ball of fire himself.
Yeah.
Right? Of course, that helps me, hallelujah. When I mess up, I realize, well, glory to God. You know, thank God they didn't exactly do it all perfect all the time either. And you know, I get concerned. I meet people in our day. I've met some preachers that signed their own Bibles. I mean, I've met some people, man, that are so important in our day. I mean, they're so big in our day. Man, you can't even hardly talk to them, friend. I want to tell you right now, I'm a country boy. I grew up on a chicken farm. I ought to be in hell when my back broke. But I'm glad one day God the Holy Ghost found me on the back row of a Baptist church and saved me by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's something grace teaches you, preacher.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. Well, you know this story, and I won't argue theology with you. And I still believe the pre-incarnate Christ. I still believe the Lord met with Jacob there.
Yes, sir.
But I want to talk to you a little bit about what happened on that mountain, on that place.
Yes, sir.
I want to give you a little bit that God gave me one day. I was sitting in my office, and I try to read through my Bible each year, and I was going through the book of Genesis, and we've all read this passage. Many of you men of God have preached out of this passage, and I was reading that day in my personal devotion. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, and it's almost like when Jacob said, I'm not letting you go. God said to me in my prayer that morning, hey, I want you to get a hold of me, and I don't want you to let go. I want you to get a hold of me. And God said, you got to do that. Several things that I want you to see in this passage. First of all, I want you to see the placement of Jacob. The placement of Jacob. I want to say something to you tonight. I believe that God's got a place for every one of us. I believe that God knows exactly where he wants us. And I believe God's got a will for us. And by the way, let me say this tonight. I believe God is sovereign. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe that God has a place for all of us. When you look at this passage, there's one thing that really stands out to me, and that's this. The Bible says, look back in the Word of God in Genesis 32, 24, and Jacob was left alone.
Yes, sir.
The placement of Jacob. Now, I want to say this tonight. I thank God for every meeting I've been in as a group, as a whole, where God swept through the place and helped us. I'm thankful for those times in that Sunday school class, or those times in that prayer room, or those times gathered with my preacher brethren when we go up on a mountain somewhere and pray and God met with us. I'm thankful for all of that. But can I say this tonight? I'm also thankful for those times when there wasn't nobody else. It was just me and God, and I was by myself, and God began to deal with my heart and to show me what I needed and to get me where I needed to go. The placement of Jacob. Can I say this tonight? I believe one of the biggest reasons that we are not having the power and the touch of God on us in our day like we ought to have is because we don't get along with God enough.
You're right.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, amen. Yes,
sir. You're right.
I believe we operate in the ability of the flesh. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll be honest tonight. I preached a few sermons that I preached in the flesh, in the sense that I didn't feel like I had a touch on me. I tried. I mean, you pray for us weaker, brethren. I know some people, every time they preach, God's all over them. I wish he was. One guy asked me one time, said, Brother Hayes, have you hit a home run every time you preach? I said, man, sometimes I don't even get to bat.
Amen.
I'll be honest. Sometimes I leave the pulpit. I feel sorry for my people. I go home and tell my wife. I said, listen, that wasn't that great, was it? And she might say something like this. It probably wasn't the best material. Amen. So I'm telling you, I want you to understand without any doubt at all that sometimes we just got to get along with God.
Yes, sir.
I enjoy every morning at our church. I get up early and leave my house. On Sunday mornings, and I enjoy every Sunday morning when I leave my house on Sunday morning and I get over to church really early on Sunday morning, because most Baptists are sleeping and they're not up yet, and the phones are not ringing at the office, and the secretaries aren't there, and associate pastors aren't there, and you just kind of come in, you get back there in the back and get alone with the Lord. And man, I drive in that morning and it's early, and then buses are rolling out of the parking lot and they're going out to pick up folks, and you get alone in that little office and you get out by yourself and you say, God, I got to preach in a little while. These are the most special people in the world to me. I love this church. I don't want them to come today, God, and not get anything. Oh God, will you touch my life? Oh God, will you anoint my preaching? Oh God, will you give me what they need today?
Amen.
There's the placement of Jacob.
Yes.
The placement of Jacob.
Yes,
sir. I'm convinced today. There are two places that all of us are to get with God. Number one, we are to get along with Him in the closet.
Amen.
I believe that.
Yeah, you're right.
You know the verse, when thou prayest, enter thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee. Don't you love when God answers those times, those prayers, when nobody else knows you're praying about it but you, and God answers those prayers? And then we need to get along with God in the canon. I use that for alliteration when I'm talking about Scripture. We need to get along with God in the Word of God. I tell people in my church, every day of your life, you ought to start your day off three ways. Every day.
Yeah.
I've taught my people this in the last 2 years. Every day of your life, here's how you ought to start your day. Number one, Scripture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number two, supplication. You ought to pray.
Amen.
And number three, silence. You ought to be quiet.
Amen.
And let God speak to you.
Right. Yes, sir.
Every day. I think sometimes we're so busy and we're going so much. There's the placement of Jacob. Oh, listen. God was going to do something big with Jacob. But God couldn't do anything big with Jacob until he got Jacob alone. You know why Jacob was here. Esau is on his trail. And the last time that Jacob and Esau kind of had communication, you know what Esau said? Esau said, one day, Jacob, I'm going to get you. I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to kill you. You don't rob me of my birthright. You don't lie to our daddy. And if I catch you and I get you, you know what will really drive you to your knees and get along with God is when you get desperate. When you get to the place or you're like, man, I tell you what, I better quit playing games at the foot of the cross. I better get serious, man. I better realize, hey, I'm telling you, there are times in my life when I know I better get serious with God and I better get along with God because, buddy, I need him more than I ever have.
Yes, sir.
You ever got desperate?
Hey.
Yeah, I preached a message some years ago on a prayer of desperation. There's several of them in the Bible. One of them's a woman who touched the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus. Another one really is when Peter began to sink. He didn't have time to pray some long prayer or to sound it like this. Lord, I pray you'd help me. He didn't have time for that. All he had time to do was say, Lord, save me.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It was the placement of Jacob. Jacob is alone.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me tonight. Secondly, There's the past of Jacob.
Yeah.
I'm talking about I'm not letting go tonight. There's the past of Jacob. The Bible says in Genesis 32, and I'll read these two verses, 19 and 20. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him. And say ye moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. Can I tell you what started happening? What started happening to Jacob was as his past was catching up with him. The past of Jacob. You know the story. Jacob and his mama lied. Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob was a trickster. His name literally means that. He was a trickster. And Jacob tried to do it all Jacob's way instead of God's way. My Lord. I'll never forget one time I was in a meeting preaching. I was young in a meeting preaching. And of course, I'm still young if I stand beside somebody old. I had a preacher the other day told me, he said, Brother Hazel, thank you for coming. I can always glean something from you older preachers. And my assistant pastor, who's one of our assistants, we have two guys full-time with us, and he's over the Young at Heart ministry. You know, it's politically correct. Usually it's the senior adult ministry, but Young at Heart ministry, and he's over that. And he told me one day, he said, Brother Hazel, because I'll be 49 here in a couple weeks, he said, do you realize in one more year you're a part of the Young at Heart ministry? I said, Brother, in one more year, you say that again, you won't be here.
Yes, sir.
I want you to understand the past of Jacob. You got to understand this. Listen, I pass one of those churches. Man, we reach some interesting people. We just did a thing where we did a mail out to 5,000 homes in our area. I'm so sick and tired of all these liberal, all of these praise and worship and garbage places around us, reaching everybody while fundamental churches are sitting back. So I made my mind up. We're going to get in 30,000 homes this year through the mail. And three weeks ago, I had 100 people on a Saturday on visitation. We were able to knock on 800 doors on visitation. I want everybody to know there's still some old time fundamental Bible-believing people in the area.
Amen.
Amen. And I know, brother, you know about that, what they're trying to do in many places. We need to let people know. But I'm going to tell you what, we reach some interesting folks, man. Listen, if you come to my church sometime on a Sunday, oh, Lord, you might would come and you look around and you thought, well, I can't believe they'd come to church looking like that. What you don't realize is that's what they are.
Amen.
Listen. We got a clothes closet at our church. We've got a ministry where we help people. And I've had them get saved on Sunday and go to the clothes closet right after they got saved. Go down there. We got suits down there. And we got dresses down there. And we got clothes and dresses. I got a boy in my church. Just 1 year ago, he was promoting rap groups across America. 15 different rap groups. He was raised on liquor and alcohol in his baby bottle from the time he was a little boy. Last year, a year ago, his three teenagers came to our church. And all three of them got saved. And they went home and they told their daddy what God had done for them. And he came the next Sunday, long ponytail, tattoos down his arm, smell of beer on his breath, and God saved him and changed him by the glory of God. He didn't have a stitch of church clothes. He didn't know what it was. He came back the next week. I ain't never preached on a ponytail, but it was gone. He come in, and you know what he does now? He'll go down in the clothes closet. I'm a 17 and a half shirt. My wife will put a whole lot of shirts down there. He's a little old scrawny guy, but he'll go down and get them 17 and a half shirt. There'll be 2 inches right up here from his neck to the shirt, but he'll have that necktie tied. He'll sit in that church. He'll wave his hand. Friend, we've all got a past. Amen. I agree everything the man of God preached a while ago. What scares me sometimes in fundamentalism, though, is I'm afraid that sinners can't even come to our fundamental churches. They walk in, people shun at them, look at them, say, look at you. Listen, friend. They're lost. They need God. And if God gets in them, God will clean them up. And we can teach them. And grace can teach them how to live. Look at Jacob. Jacob was a trickster. Jacob was a liar. You would have never thought that one day Jacob's name, my brother, would be Israel. Israel? You're talking about the greatest nation on the face of the earth. You're talking about where all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. You're talking about a nation that's not going to be overthrown. And it used to be a man by the name of Jacob, a trickster, a supplanter. That's him. Yes, the past of Jacob.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. You know what I'm glad of? Lord, now y'all help me right here. I'm just a country preacher, but I'm going to say this. I am so glad I'm not what I used to be. I am. Hey, listen, I'm not bragging on Brother Chris. I ought to be in hell. But you know what I'm glad of? I am so glad I had a praying mama. I'm so glad I had a praying family. I'm so glad somebody didn't give up on me. Thank God I'm glad. Hallelujah. That God changed my life.
Amen. Yes, sir, preacher.
Oh, I'm not everything yet God wants me to be. I know that I failed him so many times. Brother Ennis so miserably. I know I do. Sometimes I get in prayer and I say, Lord, I'm a poor excuse for what you want. Oh, I'm being honest, man. Sometimes, I mean, I try my best to live right, but sometimes, you know, somebody make you upset, you know, and you'll think things you never thought you'd think before, and somebody will bother you in church, and you'll even lose your temper a little bit, or you know, and I know all of y'all don't never do that, but pray for us weaker folk, would you? I mean, it's, you know what I'm saying? It gets hard on us weak folks sometimes. Right? Amen. Well, let me just watch this now. I believe we're getting ready to have a little help here. Watch this. There's the past of Jacob. Past of Jacob. The Bible says, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Here's what's happening to Jacob. Jacob's sin was finding him out. Esau is just around the corner. Number three, watch this. Not only do you see the placement of Jacob and the past of Jacob, but number three, I want you to see there's the preparation of Jacob. I'm going to make a statement. If you don't get anything else I preach, put this in your Bible, put it in your memory bank. I believe if God the Holy Ghost ever gave me a thought to stick in this passage, this would be it. Do you know why Jacob was put there? Jacob was put there to get rid of Jacob.
Right.
That's good.
I preach a message from that passage on no more Jacob. You know when God can use us? I'm be honest. When God gets rid of us.
Yes.
God can use us when we are no longer the most important thing. God can use us when we are no better than anybody else. Hey, God can use us. The preparation of Jacob. You know why God had to get Jacob there? You're not going to be changed to Israel. You're not going to do anything for God. You're not going to face Esau and live unless I get you here and I do something with your life.
Right.
Preparation of Jacob. I want you to think about this. Jacob was there to get rid of Jacob. God had to break Jacob to use Jacob. What I was going to share with you earlier, and I want to wait till now to do, I remember as a young preacher, I wasn't that young then. I actually, my first church, I pastored 14 years, and then I took a little detour, and the Lord taught me a whole lot of stuff, and then he sent me in evangelism for a few years, and I enjoyed that, and I'll never forget going through that. I really needed, and I say this, well, just in the way it sounds, I needed meetings, you know. I mean, I needed meetings. You know, if you're an evangelist and you don't preach meetings, it helps to preach some.
Yes, sir. Notice that.
You know, and my brother knows what I'm talking about. And I'll never forget, I got invited to preach at a fellowship, a preacher's fellowship. And I knew the kind of preachers that were there. And by the way, they were good preachers and men that preached good stuff, but I wasn't like them and they weren't like me. It was just different, you know. And I knew it, but when I got there, I thought, well, man, I'm going to impress somebody. So I preached everything that they would want me to say. I'll say it again now. Pray for us weaker brethren. I'll never forget it. Man, you're talking about a service. They shouted. I had one preacher got to shouting through the chair across the platform, shouting and crying, running. Man, I got done. I thought, hallelujah, buddy, I hit the nail on the head. Yeah. Man, I did a good job today.
Yeah.
I got finished. Son, I had some people come up with their book open. Hey, Brother Hazel, can you know, you. And probably the message I preached was probably somebody else's. But God gave it to them. Now I want you to watch. I'm feeling good about it. I eat some lunch. I get in my truck. I promise you, I've never had the Holy Ghost to speak to me audibly. Don't panic. But I promise you, I got in that truck, and I'll never forget it. It was almost like God, Brother Van, leaned over to me and said, good job. If you ever need me, let me know. Oh, I'll never forget it. It was as clear to me as if I'd have spoke it to you. I got in there and God said, hey, good job. Said, if you ever need me, let me know. You know what God did that day? God had to get rid of Chris. I tell people all the time, when I get to go preach in places like this, man, it tickles me to death, man. I love getting to go preach places. You know, I enjoy my church, but Dr. Ennis asked me to preach here. I mean, think about it. Honestly, man, he's just so, man, all that class and his shoes shine better than my car does. And I mean, man, I mean, Lord, he gets up here with that old deep preacher voice and oh, it aggravates me. Things I can't stand is preachers that talk like that or sing good. Bothers me. By the way, I'm going to chase a rabbit. When I get to heaven, I want God to give me the best singing voice anybody's ever had. And I'm going to sit down by the river of life with Fanny Crosby. And we're going to sing Blessed Assure Us Jesus is Mine. And I'm going to hit every note. Yeah, and by the way, I'll be able to sit down with her and won't nobody talk about it either. Hallelujah. And we'll be able to sing for all eternity. Yeah. So when you get to heaven, you see me sitting down, Fanny Crosby, singing Blessed Assurance, come on up, pull yourself up a tenor. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to understand, Jacob, preparation of Jacob. Jacob was there to get rid of Jacob. Then I want you to see number four. Watch this. This is critical for this whole passage. The plea of Jacob. Jacob said, verse 26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou believe. Jacob said, let me tell you what Jacob said. Jacob said, hey, God, hey, and you know, and he's wrestling with this angel. I don't know. I'm sure he knew it was power of God. I'm sure he knew it was anointing of God, and I personally believe who it was. And preacher, he's grabbing us. I ain't letting go. Why not? Because I'm getting ready to face Esau. I'm getting ready to get stomped in the mud, killed. My family going to get killed. He's going to take all them oxes, all them. He's getting ready to tear me up.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. I'm desperate, and I'm not letting go until you bless me.
Amen.
Can I tell you the problem? And I don't mean this critically. But can I tell you the problem in most churches in America? And last year, I traveled, and listen, sometimes you can put on two hands those that have a hunger for God. And don't you listen to me. We're operating without, don't be scared of this word, the anointing.
That's right.
Of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the breath of God.
Amen.
You don't have to have a banjo picking. You don't have to have an operatic voice. You don't have to have a... So listen, long as it ain't any of that bebopping and that contemporary garbage, and long as it's not... Hey, you can have a lot of spectrums and still have the Holy Ghost on you.
Right.
I got a girl in my church, she can sing notes and bust a window. Talented singer. She could walk about any major college in America and sing on their platform with that touch of God. I love to hear her sing. But you know what? When that voice is sounding like that, like some of these folks might sing, man, I'm telling you, what voice is my wife? I leaned over her and I said, man, that's some good talent. Sister, I met your husband a long time ago and we love him, but I got to hear you sing that glory to God. I was sitting up there and I was hearing you hit them notes and sing that stuff, and I got to thinking, hey, aren't you glad that the Holy Ghost can use all spirit? Listen.
Yes.
I've had men preach in my pulpit. They never sweated like I do. They never threw the leg on the pulpit. I had one man throw the leg on the pulpit one time. We had to help him get it down. And I'm telling you, I've had men come in and they were a lot more solemn. But I'm telling you what, buddy, they had enough God dripping off of them, the Holy Ghost dripping off of them, power of God dripping off of them.
Yes.
Right? Listen to me. There's a plea of Jacob. Jacob said, I'm not going to let go. I've got to have your touch. Can I say this now? I've been pastoring. How old am I, Wendy? 49, a little while, right? 20, wow. 29 years, with the exception of two. 27 years, I've been a pastor of a Baptist church. And I'm going to say this to you. What I'm getting ready to say, I believe. Now, you don't have to necessarily agree, but I do believe this. This is the toughest day and hour to pastor church that I have ever in my entire life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm going to be honest with you. Every time I think I've seen it, every time I think I've heard it, somebody will do something and I'm just like, my Lord, you're not even smart enough to have a toy in your Happy Meal. I had a preacher call me a while back and he said, Brother Haysup, I hope you're not mad. I said, mad about what? He said, one of our buses ran by your church the other week. I said, mad, Lord, no. I said, I got some people I'm going to sit out front. Will you pick them up?
Yeah.
Oh, don't look at me like that.
Yeah, boy.
You got some people rather climb a tree and complain all day and stay on the ground and be happy. You got some people, I always feel bad when I feel good because I know I'm going to feel worse. You got some people in your church, you can't never walk by and shake their hand and say, how you doing? Because if you do, you're going to be so depressed when you go to the pulpit you can't even preach. Am I telling that right, man of God? Absolutely, man. Some people must try hard to be discouraged. My Lord, man, find something, you know. You just can't do it without the touch of God. Desperation of Jacob, determination of Jacob, I'm not letting go. When's the last time, preacher, missionary, church member, mom, dad? Oh, bless mom and dad's hearts today.
Yeah.
When's the last time you got desperate enough? Now, when the invitation was given, you got in an altar and you said, God, you know what? I'm not just up here praying tonight. For the bride, I'm not just up here tonight,
right,
just going through the motion.
Right, amen.
God, I'm desperate.
Amen.
I got to have you.
Yes,
and if I don't have you, I don't know what I'm going to do. Got a young man in our church that's making some real bad decisions, his family. I know he is. I preached a message some time ago about how to overcome the overwhelming. You know when Jacob when Joshua, when they crossed the Jericho, second great crossing of Israel, do you remember that God said to Israel, he made it very clear to Joshua, he said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, you remember that? When he said that, he was really saying to them, you need to get your focus on God. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, don't listen. You get your focus on God. You have to get your focus on God and off of everything else. He said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest bearing it.
Yes, sir.
He said, when you see him step into the Jordan, he said, you don't move, hallelujah. You don't move until that Ark moves. Or you don't move till God moves.
Amen. That's it.
Then he said, when he gets in there, don't come near it.
Yeah, right.
Right.
In other words, here's what he said then, don't get in God's way. I tried to tell a young man the other week, I said, son, what you better do is you better get along with God. You better get an audience with God. You better get desperate and you better pray for your family. I said, because if you're not careful, you're going to make the wrong move. You're going to get in God's way. You're going to get ahead of God and you're going to ruin what God could have fixed.
Absolutely.
me give you the final thing. My Lord, it's easy to preach in here. I like it. The plea of Jacob. Let me give you the final thing. The presentation of Jacob. You know what he had to do? God had to get rid of Jacob. I'm not letting go till you bless me. And so, of course, he blessed him. But when he blessed him and he touched the hollow of his thigh, you remember what happened there. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, verse 25, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Verse 31, chapter 32, and as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. After that day, Jacob never walked the same again. After that day, Jacob never walked the same again. Don't get nervous right here. Listen, I believe when you get saved, I believe it's instantaneous. I believe the Holy Ghost comes to live on inside of you. The Holy Ghost is not an it. The Holy Ghost is a person. You cannot have more of a person than a person. Amen. So when you get the Holy Ghost inside of you and you get saved, that's all you can get. There's no more Holy Ghost to get. It's not how much of the Holy Ghost you got, it's how much of you he's got. Amen. But now I want you to listen. And I believe this all my heart. I believe that when that happens in your life and God gets a hold of your life and God changes your life, I believe with all my heart that you will never walk the same again. Now, don't get nervous when I'm going to tell you this. I believe salvation is instantaneous. Preacher Davis, help me. I believe this. I believe that we get born again. But I do believe for every child of God there will come a time when you cross into Canaan. Now, songs are all about Canaan being heaven, but that's not biblical. Okay, you don't fight giants in heaven. No. Canaan was a picture of victorious Christian life, where God wanted to get them to. But now, don't you stay with me here. Understand that I believe in every child of God's life there comes a time as a saved person. Not that you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Not that you do. No. But there comes a time in every child of God's life after they're saved when you completely surrender to the will of God for your life and say, Lord, I want you to anoint me and touch my life and use me for the glory of God. That's what happened to me on that mountain at Lakin's grave. I made my mind up. If I'm going to do something with God, I can't do it without God. I've got to have him.
Yes, sir.
Now watch this. You know the story. I don't have to tell you. Jacob goes and he meets Esau, and you remember what happened. And Jacob was spared. Esau's heart was touched by God. But I want you to listen. The rest of Jacob's life, if you would have seen him, here's what you'd have saw. That means one day, all them grandbabies, and Jacob had quite a few, huh? Maybe one day one of them would have jumped up on his lap and said, Papa, I got a question. Why do you walk like you do?
Yes, sir.
Papa, what is it about you? You walk different. Jacob say, son, hallelujah. Sit down right here beside of me and let me tell you about a day when I got along with God and God touched my life and I've never walked the same since that day.
Yes,
sir. Sir, you got grandchildren? 10 grandbabies? How many of you got grandchildren? You know, grandchildren, you wish you'd had them first. Can you get amen? Right? One preacher friend of mine told me, he said, Lord, have mercy. Here comes my youngin' back and they're bringing a crowd with them. Amen. Preacher, got any grandbabies yet? Got six. Listen, I my daughter's just now turning 20 in May. We don't have any yet. I'm not in a hurry to get any. But, she lived with daddy for a while. It'll be all right with me. But I want you to understand something. There ain't nothing like our kids and grandkids seeing the touch of God on our lives. Don't misunderstand me. I don't mean this in any way irreverent or mean. I really don't care if I please brethren. I got past that years ago. I'm just me, and I don't do it all perfect. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really care. I mean, and somebody's going to look at me and say, this man's lost his mind. There's a whole lot of times I'd rather be on a motorcycle in the Blue Ridge Parkway than listen to a bunch of people fussing about how everybody else is so wrong and how they're so right. I'd as soon to be on a Ducati motorcycle going through a curve with my knee dragging on the ground. I had. I mean, listen, I'm way beyond impressing people. Because you can forget that. You're never going to please people. Well, I don't believe that, Pastor of Church. You're never going to please people. Jesus couldn't please people. But listen to me. There's one thing that I want in my life, and that's this. I want my daughter. I want my family to see that I walk different.
Yes, sir.
And I want to be able to tell them where it happened.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
Yes, I am.
And can I tell you this? There's a world out here dying and going to hell.
Yes, sir.
Right. Yes, sir.
Man, we're in a messed up world.
Yes,
dying and going to hell. And I'm afraid most Christians don't have enough touch of the Holy Ghost on them.
Right.
To ever make a difference.
Right.
We have greeters that stand at the door of our church when visitors come in. They have tags and greeters come and they go to them. They find out where they're from and their address. And we try to get everything we can so we can go back and visit those homes. But I tell my people, I don't want the first thing to be a greeter that meets somebody at a door.
Amen.
I want them when they open that door, that the Holy Ghost said, man, we're glad to have you today.
Amen.
And deal with their heart. I'm not letting go.
Amen.
I want to ask you a question. And thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come. I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you hit an altar or a prayer closet or riding down the road or where it might be? Mama, talking to you as well, because them babies need a mama full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
By the way, I'll just say this. I preach a lot of youth meetings. Your daughter does not need another sister. She needs a mama.
Amen.
Let our young women learn from our aged women. I believe that. I want my wife to be my daughter's woman. By the way, I believe that my wife is one of the greatest Christians I've ever known. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to be honest with you. I think she's one of the greatest Christians I've ever known. I want my daughter to watch her mom, and I want her mom to be full of the Holy Ghost. And I want her to look and say, boy, I want to be like my mama one day.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you this. If we don't let God do something in our heart, if we don't let God move in our lives, if we don't get desperate, friend, I'm going to say this. I don't believe that 3 points in a poem are going to do much anymore. You know, there was a day you could walk into church, and I mean, I've seen days years ago, you walk in, mention Jesus, and it was on.
Yes.
Boy, we're living in a different day. I preached in church some years ago up in Tennessee, and so help me, I think I'd rather choke to death that day than preached. I tried to preach. Man, I'm telling you what, that place make a graveyard seem like an old-time jubilee. And I don't mean, you don't have to be loud to be good church, but you can feel that spirit of death. Death spirit. You may have just death spirit. And I was thinking, Lord, please free me. Somebody smiled. I'd have gave anything if just somebody would have coughed. I said, glory to God, God heard that cough. I wonder tonight, is it time for anybody in this building to get along with God and say, Lord, I need you?
Amen.
Maybe somebody here tonight, you're facing the biggest crisis you ever faced. Maybe there's a missionary here tonight, you're just tired of, you want to get on the field. It seems like the more you call, the more you go. And we're inundated constantly as pastors with calls. We get at our office, my wife's one of our secretaries at church, and sometimes we can get 20 and 30 calls a day. And you wish you could help everybody, but you can't. I think about some time, and I think about, man, those folks that want to go do what they're doing, and sometimes I think, man, will I ever get to do what I want? I've got a young man in my church that surrendered to Ireland. He and his wife are ready to go to Ireland, go to work in Ireland, and they're excited about that. And I told him, I said, son, you better get along with God somewhere and get full of the Holy Ghost. You better ask God to touch your ministry, because I told him, I said, brother, I'm telling you, you're going to need that. Maybe you're a daddy here tonight and you're burdened about your kids and wanting to be something for God. Listen, I'm telling you tonight, you get desperate and you go say, God, I'm not letting go. Maybe you're a mom here tonight and you're burdened, I'm not letting go. Maybe you're a preacher here tonight and the devil's turned up the heat around your place and he's done it around my place many a time. And you say, God, I got to get a hold of you. I'm not letting go. Maybe your body physically tonight is just not what it was and you want to do more. God, I'm not letting go. Pastor, you get an invitation song tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I'm not letting go. I wonder who tonight, you don't have to wait on anybody, want to slip out, come down this old-fashioned altar. I'm sure that'll be fine with Dr. Henderson. You come down tonight and you say, Lord, I need your touch. I want your touch. God, I want you to do something. I want to walk different. I want to be different. God, I want you to touch my life. God, I need the power of God to move in my heart and in my life. You mind the Lord tonight, and I'm sure if you'll mind the Lord tonight, God will hear your prayer, and God will be there, and God can do what you and I cannot do.